Hello, all. Today I want to talk about pleasing God. Pleasing God. Did you please God yesterday? Did you please Him deliberately or accidentally or part of your normal routine? Well, all three are great. But it's really nice to please God deliberately, not just part of our Christian lifestyle. Not just accidentally, but on purpose, to please them on purpose. And how would one do that? Well, throughout this message, I'm going to give you some tidbits of things that I do that you might want to incorporate in your lifestyle if it touches your heart. First one I like to do is, before I go to bed at night, I ask the Lord, is there something I can do for you before I go to sleep? And a long time ago, I've been doing this ever since shortly after I was saved. And a long time ago, after I'd been saved, maybe, I don't know, a year, 6 months, it's about 2 in the morning. And I've just got in. I'm tired. All I want to do is go to sleep. I'm just waiting to hear him say, no, nothing you can do for me, son. And this night he said, yes, there is something you can do for me. Okay, Lord, what can I do? He said, take a cake to your neighbor. And he pointed out which neighbor. I'm thinking, 2 a.m., he wants me to take a cake to a neighbor. Me? I don't bake. I can't even cook. But I did have a cake because I bought one like a day before for myself and didn't have time to even cut the cake. So the perfectly brand new purchased cake. I said, okay, Lord. I don't know the neighbor. Don't know the neighbor. So I took it, went next door, and knocked on his door at 2 in the morning. And I'm kind of trembling in my boots. And the man opened the door after a long while. He opened the door, which you could expect at 2 in the morning. It might be a long time. He opened the door and looked at me, and I said, God wanted me to bring you a cake. And he just melted. Turns out he was about to commit suicide, and the knocking at the door interrupted him. And I don't know why the bringing of a cake at 2 in the morning would melt him, but it changed him. So just asking God if there's something you can do for him pleases God, even when God says no. Go to sleep, son. It pleases him. So that's something I've incorporated in my lifestyle. I'd like to pass it on to you. Now, of course, you all know we please God when we live His word, do His word. And Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy. So doing His word should be easy. But why don't we do it? You know, it's not complicated. I know here at ABC we have, what, 8 schools. Some of them are not called schools, like the Book of Revelation has like, what, close to 60 videos, which is bigger than some of our schools, but it's not called a school. But it is a school. It's a school in the end times. The Salvation Made Plain is a school of schools. When it's finished, it's over, what, close to 50 videos right now. When it's done, it's going to be probably the biggest website we have. And we're in the process of loading another 10 or 15. So why so much teaching if it's simple? And the answer is all these schools, 10 years of schools, are meant to motivate you to live the word and please God. Why do we need motivation? Because unfortunately, human beings are kind of geared to their brain and their mind. We have a need to understand. And we grew up wanting to understand things. And if we don't understand them, we don't want to do them. Then after a while, when we understand them and we do them over and over, we don't want to stop doing them, even if it's now inappropriate. and they become can become bad habits. The point is, we are really locked into knowing and understanding. So we kind of live by our knower. If we don't know it, we don't want to do it. Yeah, God says all these things, but I don't know why they're important, and so I'm not going to put them on a higher priority than the ones that I understand and know are important. But that's like, you know, little kids, when they first start off, they ask a lot of questions. Once they can talk, I mean, of course. they ask a lot of questions. But the point is, if you don't have the answer, or if you don't feel like giving an answer, you just say, do it. And they'll do it because they respect the authority. Little children love to learn, and they're very obedient until they're taught disobedience. They're very obedient. And that's what God wants us to be, as little children. And just do it because God says it. Now, it's nice to understand it, but we don't need to understand it to do it. We do it because we love God. We do it because we want to please God. We do it because we're people of faith, and we have learned God is a God of faith, and we must learn to live by faith and not by sight. We must learn to live by faith and not by our knower. We should turn our knower off. I got to know this. Okay? This is the part of me that's a know. It must know something. Forget it. Turn it off. My gosh, if I'd gone by my knower, the guy would be dead. All these things I knew said, don't go do this. You don't know the man. It's in the middle of the night. The guy's going to think you're a burglar. I mean, all kind of thoughts ran through my mind. But I wanted to please God, and I believed it was God. And if it wasn't God, hey, just slam the door in my face or something. But then I could have eaten the cake all by myself. So everything has a downside and a good side. So we know that pleasing God is really simple. It tells you here in John 14, 21, he that has my commandment and keeps them, he is it that loves me. How does God know you love him? You keep his commandments. And my Father will know that you love me, and we manifest ourselves to you. Wow, it's that simple. Keeping his commandments. Keeping his commandments. But then it goes on to the scripture. Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? You all know this scripture. And at the point in time when he said it, and to the people to whom he said it, the simplest explanation for them, for that scripture at that point in time, is that these would be among the ones who walked away from him when Jesus said, "This is you have to eat my body and drink my blood." Or maybe the ones who walked away when he was arrested and hauled off to be slaughtered. Today would say, oh, certainly among that group would be the ones who make a mistake and take the mark of the beast and worship the beast. But if we do that, we are not giving the full proper focus on the scripture. Because there's a lot of things we don't do. Why do we not do the things God says to do? And again, the answer is because we don't know how important it is. Now, having been teaching for much of the year on the coming ages, we have some better idea of why it's important. We have some better idea of the fact that, yes, we are born again and we're spirit-filled, and yes, people who die under the age of grace, who were born again, will go to heaven. But we know that's not the end of the story. Nor is that the end of the qualification. The journey of salvation starts when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Every scripture says you call him Lord. If there's a place where it says you call him Savior for salvation, I haven't found it. If you find it, send me a reference. We call him Lord. And when we call him Lord, that is not meant to just be a casual, he's Lord. No, it's meant to be, he's Lord. Whatever he says, I do. You get a job and you have a boss. He's boss. It's not just a title. It means you must do what he says. If you don't do what he says, he's not your boss. And if he's paying you, he's not going to pay you much longer if you're not doing what he says. He is Lord. We do what he says. But many things he says, we don't do it because we don't know how really important it is. We're like the kids who don't know how important it is, but the kids choose to do it because they respect their mother and father. And we need the same respect for God, do whatever he says. We need to commit in our heart that we want to do what the word says because we want to please God. It's very simple. If you commit, I want to please God with my whole life, then everything falls into place. But you want to make a commitment in your heart. I want to please God. In section A, we see Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Very important because we are in the Revelation days now. Revelation 4, 11. For his pleasure, you were created. You and I created for God's pleasure. Wow. You think he takes pleasure in some of the things that we've done? I don't think so. For his pleasure, we were created. We are created to give him God pleasure. If we make a goal to give him God pleasure, everything will be provided. Health, finances, riches, length of life, long days, the rapture, everything. Understanding we're here to give him pleasure. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Please God means gives him pleasure. You cannot give God pleasure without faith. But wait a second now. Faith is in often diametric opposition to the knower. I got to know this before I do it. Oh, got a problem here. So we got to get rid of the knower. We got to say, I want to please God. I'm going to live by faith. So how many actions yesterday did you knowingly do by faith? You don't need to text me the answer, okay? But you need to know the answer. Maybe today you can have a few more times, even one time more today, where you please God by deliberately acting in faith than you did yesterday. That would be a good tip to do. Every day, try to do one more. So there's two tips so far. No charge of tips, they're not an extra. Okay? It's all part of the teaching. Okay. So, here's one way that I believe I give God pleasure. Started this a long, long time ago. I made a decision. The first thing I'm going to read in the morning, what I really want to do is, the first thing I want to see is, and for a while that was true, but now it's just the first thing that I read in the day is the Bible. I made a commitment. I'll read nothing else before I read the Bible. So if my telephone is full of calls and messages, it's still going to wait until I read the Bible. Okay? No, I don't read the Bible a long time before I deal with my messages, but I read the Bible. Tip number 3. Works for me. I like it a lot. I'm telling you. First thing I do in the morning is I read the Bible. First thing I want to see, let my eyes see, is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. So, we have to live by faith to please God. Now, Psalms 35, verse 27. Psalm 35, verse 27. Talks about faith and about pleasing God and about God pleasing us. It says, God takes pleasure in his servants. Now, what does that mean? God takes pleasure in his servants. It means God takes pleasure when you serve him. God takes pleasure when you serve him. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up in wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall walk and not faint. Not pass out. Not faint from the difficulty of the journey. Not backslide. They, those that wait upon the Lord. But I like to view that word wait as serving. I guess it depends on the context. It has, like, in my mind, it has two meanings. One is waiting upon Him the way a waiter waits on you in a restaurant. You're serving Him, waiting on Him. The other one is waiting patiently for His God and you're being still waiting upon Him. And there's a value for that. There's a value of that. We'll talk more about that later on. So, God delights in the prosperity of His servants. God delights in your prosperity when you're serving Him. Now we say, I'm serving Him. I go to church once a week. I read my Bible. Well, yeah, that's serving Him. That's the beginning. That's better than we used to do. But those are kind of general. How about some specific things, like I said, you know, specific commitment during the day? I give you two in the morning. How about one during the day? What about you say, today, what can I do today for you, Lord? And then you add it to a list. That today, I will not go to sleep until I do this for God. And you put on the top of the list, you write the word M-A-T-R-I-X. And look at it. You've been matrixized. See, you've been matrixized. So during the day, you're doing something that pleases Him. And as you're pleasing Him and serving Him, He's delighting in your prosperity. God does not think very much of poverty. You know that? He ranks poverty and compares it to a liar. And liars are on the group of eight who are going to be cast in the lake of fire in the age after the great white throne judgment. So liars are not in a good spot. We've all committed all kinds of sins, as such we were. But let's change. Let's turn into servants of God, servers of God, ministers, one who's serve and wait upon God. Finally, Psalm 37, verse 4. If you delight in the Lord, delight in serving Him. Delight in giving Him surprises. If you can surprise God, but you know what I'm saying. If you delight in the Lord, He give you the desires of your heart. Wouldn't we all want the desires of our heart? But guess what? That again has two meanings. Oh, I really like the desires of my heart, and God has given me the desires of my heart supernumerous times over my lifetime, my Christian lifetime. Even before I was a Christian, He gave me the desires of my heart. Even before I knew I was a Christian, let's put it that way. Even before I was sold out to Him. But a long time ago, I realized there's two ways of looking at that. And I said, you know what, Lord? I don't want You to give me the desires of my heart. Because I have no desires. My desire was to go to heaven, and You told me, you know, stay here and serve My people. So I'm serving Your people. I said, why don't I read it this way? That You take Your desires, and You put Your desires into my heart. You're giving me the desires of my heart, and the desires of my heart that You're giving me are Yours. And then once You put Your desire in my heart, and I'm living that, those desires are manifested. So all my desires now, almost all, 99% I would say, are goals for God's, things to do for God, for myself. You know, I'm a simple person with a simple life. I don't really need anything. I have my wife. I have my home. I've got food. What else do I need? Simple life. But God's desires in my heart are pretty profound. They're pretty awesome and wonderful. The best is yet to come. I spoke to a very good pastor friend of mine just about the last 2 or 3 weeks, and she and her husband had retired, which was a surprise to me. Had a wonderful church, and they retired. And she said, how are you doing? Because I'm quite a bit older than she is. I said, wow, I'm going strong, and the best part of my life is just starting. Well, the best part of my life is just starting, not because my desires are being fulfilled, but because God took his desires and put it to my heart. See? So when we are focused on serving God, he's focused on making us prosperous. When we're focused on serving God, he is focused on ensuring that all the desires of our heart come to pass. So then what is our goal? To continue to serve him. We continue to serve him. We give pleasure to God by serving him. Hebrews 6:12 says, with faith and patience, we inherit the promise. With faith and patience. Wow, faith pleases God. Patience pleases God. When you put the faith and patience together, it's just a matter of time before prayers are answered. If you learn never to give up on a prayer, no matter what it is, even when the time limit is come and gone. I remember one man who's probably listening right now. He wanted a job very badly. And so we prayed and said, job is yours. And it came down to two and it said, the job is yours. We agreed. He agreed. And they gave it to the other guy. He came back and says, they gave it to the other guy. I said, I don't care. The job is yours. Just wait. The guy lasted like a month or two. I forget if they fired him or he left. And the man got the job he wanted. Just had to wait like a couple months longer. I believe it was about 2 months. Got the job he wanted. There's no time limit on prayers. Never cancel them. And of course, it's very easy to cancel prayers when you're down, challenged with depression, sadness. Then our words become more inclined to give in to the darker words of life. And the devil just jumps in and have you say all kinds of things that cancel your prayers and messes up your lives. But if you remember, all you have to do is serve God. Give him pleasure. You have to give him pleasure. You can give him great pleasure when everything is going wrong and you say, I don't care if everything is going wrong. God is my source. God is my strength, my personal bravery, my invincible army. One of the worst days in my life in the natural, before I was married, I came back home after an absolutely terrible day. And there's a message on my phone. And at that time, I never got very many messages on my phone. And the message said, God said to tell you, Habakkuk 3:19, he's your strength, your personal bravery, and your invincible army. Wow, did that really pick me up? Absolutely. No. All I said was, thank you very much. And, you know. No, I guess it was a messenger's phone. Somebody called, that's right, because it was my wife. My wife called before we married, and that was the message. And all I could manage was, thank you very much. But did it pick me up? Yeah. Did it help change my life? Yes. I'm still talking about the message and the scripture today because I was able to keep my tongue under control and continue serving God, even when everything was falling apart. So Isaiah 40:31. We looked at it earlier from the point of view of serving, waiting on the Lord as a waiter. What happens to the desires of your heart. Let's look at it now from the point of view of simply pleasing God by waiting on him. You ask him a question and you sit and wait on it. I'm not talking about in general, you've prayed for something and now you're waiting for the answer. That's part of your faith action plan and you know to do that. And generally, during that time of waiting, you're not really waiting on God. I know people love to say you're waiting on God. No. Almost always, I'm convinced, that while you are waiting and doing your faith action plan, God is waiting for you to change. There's something in you that you've been doing that needs to change. Almost always, you're hindering your prayers, blocking your prayers because you haven't found it and changed. So in that time of waiting on the Lord in the conventional sense, which is I prayed, I believe I received, now I want to see the red result, use that time most profitably to keep examining yourself through the Word and seeing what can you change. What can you change? Let me tell you, I have learned so much during those times. It's not that I don't, and it's not that you shouldn't. At all times, when you read the Word, look at the word every time you read it and say, how does that apply to me? How should I change? Or how can I minister to somebody else? When you read the word and you apply it to yourself, then you're examining yourself, trying to see how can you get better. That is called washing yourself with the water of the word. Getting better because the word is changing us. We stop the don'ts, we start doing the do's. We're washing ourselves with the water. Every single time you read it, every single line of the Bible you read, apply it first to yourself. Then secondly, apply it to whom can I address this, send it to, and help them. And that's known as shodding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is part of the armor of God. So when you read the Bible, apart from learning, focusing on the word, and pleasing God by reading it, you can continue in the armor of God. You can wash yourself with the water of the word. So that's how you wait on the Lord when you're standing in faith using your faith action plan. But in the context here of pleasing God, I'm talking about waiting in the Lord in quiet and privacy. You ask Him a question. It's not praying for something. This is simply you getting to know God better and God helping to change it. You ask Him a question. Maybe at the same time every day. You sit down and you say, every time, you pick a time which is most likely you can do every day. And it could be a minute. You know, it starts off at a minute, it goes into a couple of minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It can grow into an hour. It all depends on how much effort you put into it and how much time you have. You're basically sitting with the Lord and you ask questions. Question could be, Lord, what can I do for you right now, today? Or, you know, Lord, help me to hear your voice better. But you ask a question and you sit and you wait. And suppose no answer comes. Suppose you don't hear His voice. Suppose you've never heard His voice. Hey, you sit there for a while. Whatever the allotted time is, you sit there for that time, waiting on Him to hear His voice. As Pastor Karen said every once in a while, sheep knows the shepherd's voice because they spend time with Him. Sheep don't know the shepherd's voice because the shepherd owns them or is in charge of them. A corporation. A man could buy a whole herd of sheep and hire people to take care of them, and the sheep wouldn't know this guy from Adam. They'd show up and the sheep would run from him because he doesn't spend time with them. It's not ownership, it's time. Yeah, God owns you and we belong to God, but if you don't spend time to Him, how much do you know His voice? You know, you go to school or work and you meet somebody and you like the person, first time you meet him. You say hi and so forth. Maybe the next time you may or may not recognize the voice if you heard it on the corner. But if you start spending time with the person, you would know his voice instantly. It all comes from spending time with God. Waiting on the Lord. Spend time with Him. So we serve God and it gives Him pleasure. We wait upon Him. We're serving Him. We're trying to know Him better. We're trying to recognize His voice better. So, here's another pointer. I think this is, number 4 or 5. Pick a certain time of the day and just spend some time with God. Maybe a minute. Until you know His voice better and better. The more you know His voice, is the more the anointings are going to come in you, is the more you want to expand the time. I guarantee you. Isaiah 1 verse 19. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the Lamb. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the Lamb. That's a euphemism, it's a conventional term for prosper. If you're willing and obedient, you shall prosper. If you're willing and obedient to do what? To pay attention to His word. To serve Him. To spend time with Him. To be focused on His pleasure. If you're willing and obedient, you shall prosper. So examine yourself. Are you prospering? I'm not saying, you know, are you competing with Bill Gates on how much money you have? But in your lifestyle, are you prospering? And let's see, So Adam can too, Adam prospered. I went through times of challenges when I was learning. Multiple times I went, at least twice, I went 2 weeks without eating. Not fasting, just no money, no food. Not asking anybody for anything and not dropping hints. Me and God. I said, God, hey, you're God, you know what I need. You know I'm doing my best. I trust you to do the rest. So I'm not going to drop any hints. I'm not going to ask people for money. I'm not going to borrow money. I'm just not going to eat till you provide food. In the meantime, I do the best that I can. One of those times I was actually working 8, 10 hours a day. So, but those days are long, long gone. So, God delights in your prosperity. And we're here to please Him. As we please Him by serving Him, by waiting on Him, by asking if there's something special we can do, by spending time with Him, He will prosper us. That's His word. If you're willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, you should prosper. Including when you give your tithes and offerings. People can give their tithes and their offering and be all grumpy about it. But God wants a cheerful giver. Cheerful giver is willing and obedient. And that makes a tremendous difference. You know, God will delight. God delights in your prosperity when you serve Him, when you give Him pleasure. And when you give your tithe and offering cheerfully and obediently and look forward to give it. My gosh. When I know money is coming to me. And money comes into me in different streams, okay? Because I started what became ABC Church in 1996. There, when I started it, we had the first meeting. From 1996 until probably 2003 or 2004, maybe even 2005, somewhere around there, Sierra and I never took up an offering in the church and never accepted that. We never asked for tithes, we never asked for an offering. Definitely. In fact, after we got married, we started this before we were married, and after we got married, we both had corporate jobs at that time, and the Lord said, I want you both to leave the corporate world and do this exclusively of the corporate world. Well, you know, that was a big step, but we did it. And of course, within a short time, all the money dried up. But we continue without asking for offerings or tithes. God brought in money absolute unusually. He didn't talk about it. We never told anybody we were having financial challenges. God just miraculously moved in many ways. And then after about 7 years of doing this from the start to that, 7, 8 years, God said to me one day, why are you not taking up tithes and offerings? And I said, because I don't need your money. You are my source. You've been doing well. You provide for us. He says you have the wrong perspective. When you receive their tithes and offerings, they're getting blessed. It is more blessed to give than receive. It's a scripture. Acts 24, something like that. It's more blessed to give than receive. Jesus said, more blessed than receive. And God said, if you don't receive their tithes and offerings, you are stealing your blessing. Didn't go into any details, he just said that. I mean, that was enough. But I've come to learn, yeah, you're stealing the blessings of a tither, which are pretty significant and serious, both in health and finances and protection. And you're stealing the blessings of the returns and on the offering. So we started taking them up. And ever since then, we've done it. So the key is wanting to please God. It's like I'm doing my affirmations. Affirmations please God. But impatience doesn't. So one day I'm doing my affirmations really fast on machine gun level. You all know I can speak very fast. For those of you who are not used to me, this is slow. Just so you know, I can speak very fast. I could compete with a machine gun. But I've learned to slow down because God says, you know, the affirmations please me, but the impatience pleases the devil. So you're doing them fast, you're impatient. On the one hand, you're pleasing the devil. The other hand, you're pleasing me. So which one do you want to please? So I learned to slow down. Not as slow as I will go, but I slow down a lot. Let me wrap this up in a nutshell. This section, I mean, not the whole service. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently, notice how often the word diligently is used in the scripture, Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, and God rewards those who seek Him diligently. Diligently. Diligence pleases God. Diligence in everything pleases God. Diligence in waiting. If you shall hearken, listen carefully. Hearken diligently. Listen carefully and do it. Unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. You know, you can still do that today. For much of my Christian life, as I read that, I said, oh, well, you know, he's talking to a nation. No, it's talking to you and me. Yeah, it was being addressed to the nation, but it's talking to you and me. You know? Elon Musk, which I guess he is the richest man in the world now. It was nice to see somebody who was the richest man in the world who didn't make it from digging oil out of the ground. That's not a climate change energy political statement. There's the fact that for decades and decades and decades, the richest people were people who lived in countries that produced oil. They were Muslims who produced oil. So, when Elon Musk speaks, countries listen to him. People listen to him. Though did God put him there? I have no idea. But the point of fact, he can put you or me there. And it's not just a question of prosperity. It's a question of influence and what you're saying and what you're doing. So, all comes down to serving God. The Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake you. Come on thee and overtake you. God is saying, if you chase me by serving me and doing what I say, the blessing will chase you, don't overtake you. He's saying clearly, don't chase the blessing, chase me. Be a God chaser. If you're a God chaser, the blessings have been commanded to chase you down. So yesterday, were you a God chaser yesterday? Or were you a work chaser or a money chaser? Or a book chaser, or a pleasure chaser, or just the diligence of doing all the work that you have to do, because we all have a lot of work to do. But in all the work we have to do, let's consecrate the work to God, and let's do it for Him. Lord, I'm going to work today. I got to spend 10 hours on the job today. Lord, do you want me to go? And if you're committed to a job, you say yes. And so, Lord, I'm going to work today. I'm doing it all for you. I'm making that my interval time. By faith, I'm going to work because God said I should. And my entire time at work today, I'm going to work as unto the Lord. And it's part of my interval living For that entire time, I'll be under faith because I'm being obedient to God. I'm doing it by faith. Wow, you take 8 hours a day and you put it under faith, and faith pleases God. And so here you are, pleasing God by serving Him, by giving Him pleasure, by being obedient to go to work and work as unto the Lord. And that's what you call interval living, which can be as short as a minute or a second, or as long as all day or a week. Interval living. That you check with God before you do it. And then when you finish, you ask Him, what next? And during that entire time, it's under faith. You're living under faith. And when you're living under faith, you're living by faith. And when you're living by faith, you're not living under the law. So there's no sin. As long as you're doing what the job requires you to do, assuming that is not sinful. I mean, if you live for a company that wants you to lie, yeah, change jobs. Ask God for a new job. So God is saying in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, be a God chaser. If you chase me, the blessing will chase you. Note the word overtake. Overtake means it's coming from behind on its own trying to catch you. That's what we want. We want the blessings trying to catch us. Pastor Matthew mentioned maybe a month or two ago that a long time ago, Sarah and I had told the church that we're recommended to the church that they declare that every day money comes. You speak to money. Money comes to me every day. Money comes to me every day. And that after a while, I don't remember how long we did it before I made a statement. We said, money is coming to us every day, and we're going to start counting. We're going to see if we can go 1 year where money came to us every single day. And it seemed to me, I think this is what he said, and this is my recollection, that we went a year and a half, and then after a year and a half, we quit counting it. That was a long time ago. My gosh, I can't even recall how long ago that was. 15 years ago, maybe? Well, since then, money, or money equivalent, has still come to us, I would say, every single day. Now we have different income streams. One of which is not the church, by the way, okay? We don't take up offerings from the church. We don't take a salary. We've never taken an offering from the church. We've had people, the Mays, Pastor Mays, have taken up offerings for us twice. And my wife said a couple of pastor appreciation days, which I thought, through the years, okay. My wife said a couple of pastor appreciation days during the year. But we didn't initiate that. We did not initiate them. So, our job is to speak what we want and to give God pleasure. When we speak what we want, it gives God's pleasure. Gives God pleasure. And so, we've taught you should all be saying, money come to me every day. Thank you, Lord, money comes to me every day. And expecting it and believing it while you're pleasing God and serving God. And that statement pleases God. There's another thing we've taught. Well, two things in one. We said, learn this from Kenneth Copeland. He said, never eat your last dollar. Boy, that cost me many weeks of going hungry. Never eat your last dollar. Give it away. But I tell you, it worked. Never eat your last dollar. Give it away. And the other one is what I call a money magnet. Never be without money. Have some money. Start off with maybe a dollar. The dollar is in your pocket. You never spend it. You never eat it. What you do with it is give it away where God tells you. And let it grow from a dollar. And I did that. It grew from a dollar to large sums of money. Took me years, but it went from giving away a dollar to giving away large sums of money and having my money magnet. Like attracts like. You're declaring money comes to me this day and every day, and you have a money magnet, it pulls money to you in all different kind of ways. I don't have time to give you examples, okay? But just reminding you of the suggestions. Part C, obedience. Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. Humility and the fear of the Lord. How are you doing in humility and the fear of the Lord? You have a reverential fear of the Lord to the point where you don't want to commit sin, and you respect him, that you want to spend time with him every day and please him and give him pleasure, and take your entire life and put it under him, and do things like every night before you go to bed, last thing before you go to bed, you say, Lord, is there something I can do for you? Last thing you look at night is the word of God. It's reversed in the morning. First thing in the morning, you read the Bible and ask God, what can I do for you today? In the evening, you reverse it. During the day, spend time with him. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and unknown life. Humility, the bottom line of humility, is loving the word of God and living it. If you love the word of God and live it, then you're walking in humility. And if you take that humility now and externally apply it with your interactions with others, because it says, esteem others greater than yourself. That's part of humility. When you take the humility and live that part of the word, then you start to move into meekness. Me, I have a lot of challenges moving into these two areas. I'm doing my best. And God will do the rest. But at least I can teach you the mechanics of it, okay? I'm saying, don't use me as an example for humility and meekness, okay? I've got my own examples that I'm copying, okay? Right, Peter? By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So, respect God, respect his word. Put his word first in everything. And the blessings of riches, honor, and life. Notice it doesn't say long life, it says life. And we have learned that life means life. It doesn't mean long life. It means not dying. That it'll chase you down and overtake you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. We are, you know, I think conditioned by the devil in many ways to want to do sacrifice, you know. In the old covenant, they sacrificed animals. Today we sacrifice things by fasting and all different kind of ways we sacrifice things. And that's good. There's a value and a place to sacrifice to a certain limit. But better than the sacrifice is obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. God wants an obedience. In communion, the blood. This is my blood of the new covenant, of the new testament, shed for the remission of your sins. His blood washed away our sins. That's his part. He took his blood and washed away our sins to open up a blood covenant. You have a blood covenant with Jesus. You're his brother by blood. You're joined here with him by blood. But every covenant has two parts. His part was to shed his blood to wash away our sins. Our part in Romans 12:1-2, be a living sacrifice. Be a living sacrifice. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the metamorphosis, the changing of your mind. Be you conformed by the renewing of your mind. So Jesus purchased a blood covenant for you. In the blood covenant, everything Jesus has belongs to you. You're joined here. Everything he has belongs to you. So we don't need to chase money. It belongs to you. We just need to know how to access the bank of heaven. And we access it one way is by pleasing God. But we need to understand that by blood covenant, everything Jesus has is joined here with us. We both own it. But you have a part to play, which is to present your body as a living sacrifice, because obedience is better than sacrifice, and the sacrifice he wants is not you whipping your body or kneeling on the hard rock for hours, which one great man of God did. No, the sacrifice he wants is for you to be obedient, live the word, and most of all, give him pleasure. Give him pleasure by walking in faith. Give him pleasure by spending time with him. That's the sacrifice he wants. Sacrifice of obedience. And that puts the covenant together. Jesus' part is to shed the blood. Your part is obedience as a sacrifice. You give him the sacrifice of obedience by pleasing him with faith, by pleasing with waiting on him. Finally, Romans 8:14. We take that obedience and we try to put it in our lives all day. Romans 8:14. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not the children of God. Not babies growing up, not feeding on milk, but feeding on strong meat. Well, feeding on meat and moving into strong meat. Those are the sons. That means they're pleasing God more and more because they know the word and they're living it. If you continue the word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How? If you continue the word, you're pleasing God. And his power is just flowing through you. And the blessings are chasing you down. So, see if some of these pointers make sense to you. See if you can use it to change your life and start accessing the bank of heaven. Thank you very much for your time. God bless you all.
Thank you, Apostle Joshua. Who doesn't want to please God? I'm sure there's absolutely nobody who would say, oh, no, I'm not interested. You wouldn't be here at ABC if you felt that way. So we do all want to please God. So I hope you were taking notes as Apostle Joshua was sharing some of his keys to pleasing God. And they are available to all of us. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful. Well, let's go on into communion. And let's take a moment to do a USP in preparation for the privilege of partaking of the body and the blood of our Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. How awesome, Lord Jesus. We just thank you so much that you were willing and available and obedient, giving your life for ours, paying the price for us that we could not pay, but you being free of sin, having faced every temptation known to man and still walked sin-free. You resisted all those temptations just as we should be doing. And we can in you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took those 39 stripes, paying the price for every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain that would ever be made known to mankind. You already paid for them. It's already a done deal, for you know the end from the beginning. And we are the recipients of your blessings. We are those for whom you have paid that price. And we receive it, Lord, knowing that what belongs to us is health and healing and wholeness and restoration and rejuvenation. How wonderful to walk in divine health. That is our goal because Jesus paid the price and it belongs to us. So let's receive it for every part of our bodies, every cell, every fiber, every organ, every system, every function of our bodies, flooded with the life-giving, health-giving body of Jesus Christ was broken for us. Let's receive his broken body into our broken bodies and have them convert into whole bodies that Jesus paid for. He wants us. He wants us to please him But he wants to please us as well. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, as we now partake together in great thanksgiving. And in that same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood, life-giving blood, washed away all of our sins. And if there's no sin, there's no wage of sin. All of that's washed away. And your blood sealed the old covenant and establish the new, better, and everlasting covenant for us with all the promises. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 talks about this being the cup of blessing, for it sealed these blessings for us. It's also what I choose to call the cup of life, for the life is in the blood, and the blood of Jesus Christ pours into us as often as we want to partake of communion. God set no limit. It is our choice how often we do. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We are so blessed that you provided for us, not just 2,000 years ago, but ongoing. Every day we receive your blessings anew. And we thank you and praise you as we now rejoice and partake together of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if Jesus took those 39 stripes for us, what does the word of God say? It says we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus in 1 Peter. In Isaiah 53, it looks ahead and says that this is what's going to happen. But Peter looks back to the cross and said, the price has already been paid. It's past tense, done deal. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And one of the ways that we receive of that promise is by speaking it out of our mouths. Unlike man's medicine that goes into our mouths, God's medicine comes out of our mouths, speaking the word of the living God. Okay, so everybody ready? 20 times we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. What a wonderful blessing for us. He suffered so greatly, so we wouldn't have to suffer at all. He didn't want us to have any pains, no symptoms, no sickness, no disease, no infirmity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What an awesome gift. We are so grateful and so appreciative of all that you have done for us.